digital transformation, from my lesson learned, it not start with the system. You need to start with the people, process first. You need to ensure that fit to your organization, fit your intended outcome and goals. And I think the system is just the tools to fit you. But if you start with tools, you cannot achieve the goals because you are constrained and abiding by the tools.
Welcome to Chief Digital Heroes, where we celebrate those who lead the charge on all things digital transformation at the world's most innovative banks and financial institutions. Here's your host, Matthew Van Niekerk, CEO and founder of Settlement. Now, let's jump right into today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to another episode of Chief Digital Heroes. Today, I'm speaking with Witit from Bank of Thailand. Can you share with us the journey that you've taken that's led you to your current role?
Well, my name is Witit Sinsathayigun, and my background, I would briefly explain. I have been working in the financial sector by more than 11 years, in particular in the area of financial market and digital innovation with the end-to-end aspect of the financial sector, ranging from policy, development, and operations. Yeah, and to elaborate on this, I have a multifaceted experience encompassing FX policy, financial market regulation, innovation in terms of financial and infrastructure development. And specifically in my projects, I advance a new foreign exchange ecosystem in Thailand and to enable like kinds of regulatory friendly environment for bank and service provider. And I also initiate like a new payment infrastructure of the central bank digital currency, in particular on the cross-border space in order to enhance efficiency. And also lastly, I work on the initiative of the enhanced regulatory sandbox for central bank in order to promote the new innovation by allowing like new player to innovate financial services in the financial space in our Thailand landscape. And also I have a keen interest in the kind of analytics. I also initiate like a new tools like network model and new law network model to enhance supervisory and regulatory effort in the financial markets. And that's all my background and my key projects that I involved in doing my 11 years in Bank of Thailand.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite a wide array of initiatives that you've been involved in, going from CBDC, I suppose, wholesale. I've seen that you've contributed to a number of papers as well with the World Economic Forum, for example, and also the Bank of International Settlements. I heard that you had quite a bit of work in that domain. So you're listed as a contributor to quite a few different initiatives. And combining that with the sandbox and the newer technologies like the network model you mentioned, how big is your team with it, if I can ask that?
Yeah, it's around 9 colleagues, but we're quite a mixed staff, our colleague in our team. So we have technical colleague like full stack developers, system analysts, back end. And also we have a business analyst, business team that's combined together and our digital currency team. So we work in terms of both technical and business domain in the same unit. And right. It's more or less like a startup in the Bank of Thailand. We have a separate unit, but still under the roof of the Bank of Thailand.
Got it.
But we manage by, I would say it's more flexible than the central bank as a whole.
Yeah. Really interesting stuff. And with so much on the go, what does a typical day look like for you?
I would say it's being a deputy director in my position, I would say my job is quite multidisciplinary, as it involves, again, we manage the team of like technical colleague and also the business staff. So we involve multi-dimensional domains, ranging from the policy, regulatory, and also the technical development. And my day-to-day is to ensure that all the components are synchronous. And if any in sync, my job is to ensure that we can solve and we can ensure that all the things from business and technical get along and synchronous together. So in addition, my role is not to play only lead and manage, but to deep dive into the key implementation issue, since the job in reality is very dynamic and constrained by resources, by time. So yeah, my job day to day is to see the problem as soon as possible, as to ensure that we can get into solve the problem. And the earlier you see the problem, the better can manage the resource and time. And that is the main thing I would wrap up my typical day. So it's very flexible, but we need manage resource to achieve the goals.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. And if you look at the financial sector in Thailand today, how would you summarize the state of digital transformation in the sector?
Well, I think we cannot exactly assess the state. As we see, this is sort of dynamic and it's a journey. But we believe that we are in the right direction that we would like to steer, I mean, organization or unit going forward. Like, we would like to be a relevant and future-ready organization. But to steer this forward in a sustainable way, we learned that it needs two or three things. Like, first, we need top and middle senior level, not just the top one. So we see that from my lesson learned to transform the mid level is very important. And other thing is, in addition, is it should be, I mean, embraced in activity of organization management, like goal setting, incentives, ongoing monitoring. But it's very challenging for us as a culture of Bank of Thailand. It's similar to official sector. So as you may know, it's binding and heavily regulated. So we need to comply like data governance, like confidentiality, and so on. So still, we are still under the roof of central bank. What our challenge is, we need to manage to achieve our on the intended outcome on time and to get the deliverables that on the high qualities. But again, we constrained by our nature of the central bank is heavily regulated. And that's the challenge that we need to manage, get flexible as much as possible. However, for our unit, I mentioned before that it's similar to startup. We shape our unit in terms of transformation that might not similar to the Bank of Thailand. We start three things like people, process, and system. We think for people, we start to recruit people that fit our culture. We think we are outcome-oriented, we growth mindset, and we try to recruit the people that can balance stakeholder because as our job is to get involved with other external party, vendor, and internal colleague from across different departments. So this is we start with the people. And also the process we manage internally, we not follow the one size fits all. Sometimes we skip mid-level, so we can just start from the top one of our unit and work directly with the staff that on the lowest level, so we can skip the middle level management. So, and we are very flexible to work. We can shape whatever we think it makes sense, it deliver outcome. So because we manage in our unit different from the central bank, but again, if something we need to ensure that we align with the regulation, we still do. Need to do. But if there is a room, we maximize the room to make it efficient. And also for the system, we, as you may know, like when we are in the central bank, we need to use the service like environment of cloud. However, it's not flexible when we innovate something new. We need to scale innovation. We need to try something new. And we explore how we can use our own cloud. We separate, how to manage this environment to ensure that we can explore new initiative with minimizing lead time and time to market. So I think in sum up, three aspects, people and process and system that we try to shape transformation in my units.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective with it. I think quite often with transformation initiatives, there's a lot of focus on the tech. But if I understand well, you're using a much more holistic approach. So the systems or the tech is there, of course, but then the processes involved and the people involved need to be taken along for the journey, I guess, is what I'm taking away from your explanation of how you approach transformation.
To echo, I think we are now in the central bank. We try to explore new platform in many aspects, like in HR, in IT, in service management. We try to explore the platform. But, digital transformation, from my lesson learned, it's not start with the system. You need to start with the people. Process first. You need to ensure that fit to your organization, fit your intended outcome and goals. And I think the system is just the tools to fit you. But if you start with tools, you cannot achieve the goals because you are constrained and abiding by the tools. And tools, it's not customizable, in particular in the central bank mandate. Central bank is sort of regulators. They need to, they're abiding by very, very heavily regulated. So the platform is not the answer at the first day. So to me, people and process is very essential for the process of digital transformation.
Great insight there, Witit. Thanks for that. Another question I have. So you mentioned you're exploring platforms quite rapidly and evaluating, you know, do they fit within the organization, with the people and the processes. But what emerging technologies and trends in the financial sector are you most excited about? And how do you see these technologies impacting Thailand's financial landscape?
Okay. I think if you ask about the emerging technology, I think the people would always say like AI led a service, like a tokenization. But if you see in the Thailand financial landscape from the pain point, to me, I believe the tokenization had a significant role to play in our Thailand financial sector, as it unlocked a new growth opportunity. And I mean, I would summarize in three domains of the Thailand financial landscape. First, it enabled like atomic settlement, like payment versus payment, delivery versus payment, which helped to reduce liquidity lock-in and also reduce the settlement risks. For example, in the foreign exchange and in the capital market product that, you know, like it takes time to settle from you trade, pre-trade, during the trade and post-trade. And that makes, I mean, operational costs and also settlement risks. When you exchange the currency cross-border, you need to wait until the New York, I mean, for different time zone to square the position, and that create the risks. And that's the room that the tokenization could have low to place. Second is create new innovation services like the programmable payment and tokenization. Think about the money and the asset, if they can tokenize together, and the data could exchange seamless.
Yep.
You know, like they could unlock new kind of trade finance, carbon credit, which is the pain point in the legacy system. So if we could tokenize money and tokenize asset, and the information and value could be exchangeable in seamless, I think it could create a lot of opportunity in the financial landscape, and it could really solve the pain point of the public policy objective like financial inclusion, SME financing, so on. I think last one is the tokenization could offer benefits of transparency. You know, like when you remit money abroad, you cannot know like where the money are at the moment, like because it involves kind of intermediary corresponding bank and so on of the, I mean, intermediary. So, but yeah, again, tokenization could offer like a peer-to-peer and allow you to observe with the power of visibility on your transaction and at a real-time basis and transparent. You don't involve intermediary to work this for you. So I think that's the technology trend that we are looking for. But again, it's not just that opportunity, it's challenges because, you know, like in our landscape, the private sector have on its own network as like legacy system, their development on the silo, each service provider develop on their own network and they not connect or interoperable together, which lead to like fragmentation of technology, lock-in, liquidity fragmented, which eventually not good for end user at the end. Therefore, our job is to ensure that we have a kind of standard of that line of interoperable between network in this year, that to ensure that all the network can connect together and it could, to us, it could unlock the benefit and get it the most as we can. So our job is to ensure this interoperable among a network. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, like, of course, making different, let's say, Web2 networks interoperable, that can be done in a multitude of ways. But do you see a promising approach to that that's emerging or is already being developed? Or is it, if it's too early to say, then just tell me it's too early to say. But if there, do you see a direction that that's taking and which sort of approach would be used to achieve that interoperability?
Yeah, we also explore few possibility. We're not sure yet whether which one is the best option, but we try to explore. First is the bridging, you know, like trusted bridge. You know, like now private sector have a different network, but they need to anchor the money, which is the public money. And also they need to anchor what is a trusted bridge to ensure that when they cross the bridge, ensure that they exchange a value on the secure, I mean, transfer and exchange. And that's the role to play for the trusted bridge that we are exploring. The second one is we explore like sort of wholesale CBDC, like because of, you know, like some network and asset In particular, in money spread private money, need to anchor with the public money. With the central bank provide kind of the wholesale CBDC or it's a CA current account that the commercial bank deposit with the central bank. And this anchor the money, the stability of the value of money. And that could interop with the network of each private sector. And they can settle money back to the backbone of the money, which is the central bank settlement ledger. So the second possibility, we explore the settlement ledger by the central bank. And also we explore the standard protocol of interoperable, like a protocol that I think is comply with and compatible and also interoperable with the global standard, like, for example, ERC, I would say. But yeah, we not yet to this point to decide whether which one is the best option. But we will explore to see, drawbacks and opportunity for each option.
Thanks for sharing the insights. And so, just recapping a bit. So tokenization, the three benefits you saw are settlement, whether that's delivery versus payment or payment versus payment or otherwise. The second, if I got it right, was kind of the programmable nature of when you would tokenize an asset, there's an element of programmability that can be infused into it, which can support a lot of things, like you mentioned, financial inclusion and other things. And the third one you mentioned was transparency. So that's the nature of the technology in that case is transparent. Yeah. Really, really cool. Great insights, but not all roses. There are some challenges to make fragmented system, make it interoperable. And so that for the Thailand in the future, there's a seamless experience that's created for financial transactions. Really, thanks a lot for sharing that. But I want to zoom out a little bit and talking more, not so much about projects or the landscape, but about yourself. And a lot of our listeners are aspiring transformation leaders. And I'd like to see, in your view, to succeed in a role like yours, what are the top skills and qualities that are required to be successful in your role?
Yeah, I think in this era of digital transformation, I would say multidisciplinary, it's very essential, multidisciplinary skill. So I love the analogy. It's like a pie shape, pie shape. So you need to have a business domain on the vertical one. And you also need to have a technical or like analytics, DLT, AI. So this is a core technical competency on the business domain, technical domain. And I think the crossbar of the pie shape is the project management, balance stakeholder. So all in all, I think I would analogy with the pie shape. In order to, for any type of the role in digital transformation, if you could have business technical and also project management, it will ensure that you could satisfy your role and the position. To illustrate it, I would say, I went involved with the multi-CBDC project. We cut across department, involved with, many colleagues from IT, policy, legal, IT, risks, budgeting, and so on. So we need not just only have a technical skill, but we need to have the project management and balance stakeholder. And that's very, very important to ensure that you could deliver the outcome that satisfy your goals. So to me, I think from our experience, I think technical skill is not enough, but it's kind of necessary. But for the project management, it's sufficient condition to ensure this one.
Yep.
And again, in my involvement is multi-CBDC, not only internal, we involve with other organization, other central bank, overseas or foreign commercial bank. So it's very important for project management skills.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's very important of the top skill for this role.
Yeah. No, thank you. So it's having vertical domain expertise, technical expertise in a technical domain, and also the project management background is can help with not only the project, but the stakeholder management. Yeah, no, that's good insights. And what in your role as Deputy Director of Digital Currency Policy and Development, that's a long title, but in that role, what do you find to be the most challenging aspect of the?
Yeah, again, the nature of this role is very dynamic. The more challenging thing is that we cannot fix, JD job description, what the role you would pay day to day, because you need to ensure that you deliver your intended outcome and you'll be outcome oriented. To understand that someday you need to play the role as, a leader. Someday you need to play the role as a maker, recommend solution policy to other department like IT or regulatory or policy department, because you are in wanting to deliver the outcome. So you sometimes, if colleague from IT is constrained and overutilized in order to deploy some solution, so your job is you need to take some part of their jobs to ensure that we can achieve the goals and outcome. So yeah, our challenging is that we cannot say what the role is separately clear cut from we are only focused on this, you are focused on this. But in reality, if you would like to ensure that you deliver the outcome, you need to be flexible, proactive, think ahead of them, discuss with them what the solution you need to propose first. Don't wait for them to propose for you, but you can propose, provide benefit, pro and cons. And that's the way that we work day to day. All in all, I think the challenging is it's not the fixed mindset. It's the growth mindset, I would say. So you need to open, work hard, deliver the outcome. That's it.
Yeah. Now that's, and if I tie back to what you said, so the biggest challenge is the challenges are always going to be there, but having an outcome oriented mindset or a growth mindset is really important to overcome the challenges. And I think that ties back to the skills that you mentioned. So you kind of have to be able to address different types of challenges. And if you have vertical domain expertise, you have technical expertise, and you have project management skills, then that's going to really put you in a great position to tackle the problems together with other stakeholders. So that's, I see the nice link back to addressing the challenges with, you know, the skills that you mentioned are essential for succeeding in the role. Now, the next question I have, it's one that I like to ask all the guests, is about misconceptions. Because I think a lot of people that are, they have an understanding of what a role might be. But what do you think are or what have you come across as the common misconceptions or misunderstandings about the role that you have at the Bank of Thailand?
Okay. Yeah, well, it's similar to the previous question. But again, normally people would consider that when the role is that, deputy director is sort of mid to top senior level. Command and wait and monitors and validate the deliverables. But in reality, this role is very dynamic by nature again. Unlike a senior or mid-level management, it can't be fixed job description. It can't be expected that the role would be the same in every day. However, sometimes you play a role as a reader, sometimes you are a maker. And that, to me, is the beauty of the roles. You don't fix what you are, but you fix what the outcome you would like to achieve. So again, but multidisciplinary skills are very essential to perform this role. And I think the reason behind is because of outcome oriented. So I think people, when think about the mid-level, they might misunderstand that it's very, very, top, and you don't involve even in the operational things, but not for this job, this role. So sometimes we involve in the small things that could impact the whole picture.
Right.
So if we see this problem first, we solve areas as possible, then we can manage the resource better. Yeah, that's our clarification on this.
Yeah. All right, cool. And I was going to ask you about advice for other leaders that are in the financial sector, but you've given a lot of great advice already. Are there any final things that you'd like to call out as advice that you give to other leaders in financial sector and those that are involved in digital transformation efforts?
To me, I think strategic sequencing is important. First, from lesson learned of digital transformation, you cannot start with the system. You need to start with the goals, people, and your process first. And then you jump to the system. However, normally people will start with tools, like the system first. And we struggle it in our experience to fit our process, people, to the tunes. And that's the way that we struggle with it. And another thing is that what we learn is that we always underestimate the effects of digital transformation in the short term and overestimate the outcome in the short term. We think that we do little things and make offer the great impact, but in reality, no. Yeah. It's very hard. It's very challenging. You know, legacy mindset, legacy system, they need to operate two systems. All the stuff is the effort that you to overcome. And you cannot expect that it would be really solved in the short term. And yeah, you cannot expect the outcome would be a high impact in the short term. It's yeah. opposite. To me, is you need to sweat. It's challenge. It need effort. It need to, I mean, pain to yeah. achieve this. But the outcome would be in the long term, which also subject to uncertainty as well.
Yeah.
So it's not easy job for the transformation from lesson learned. And my last thing that is important is people always think about transformation is a top down, but to me, it's mid senior level is the essential component because you are bridging the top one and the lower one. So the mid level senior manager is very critical to ensure the transformation because you cannot communicate upper, lower, and you can translate. You still have a power to make it impact and you still face the real implementation issue, legacy issue. That's your role. The importance of the middle level is very essential for transformation effort. Yeah, that's our experience.
Yeah. So it sounds on the one hand that digital transformation or transformation initiatives are not so enjoyable, but you, I think if you have the, because as you mentioned, the kind of the blood, sweat and tears and the effort that it is required, but you know, if, I guess with that growth mindset that you mentioned earlier, thinking longer term and, you know, being prepared for the longer term, preparing for a marathon rather than a sprint is probably, you know, a decent way to summarize that. But I want to talk about, you know, you mentioned very briefly AI and tokenization, we went really far into that. Do you want to share some insights or technology implementations, or what are your thoughts about the future of how AI will change the financial landscape in Thailand?
Well, yeah, we already talked about the tokenization, but yeah, it's sort of, I think it's whole promise for the future landscape. Another one is that it's about the AI. I think AI is not new things. To me, let's go back in 5 to 6 years ago, I implemented some of the neural network model to predict kind of the, I mean, foreign exchange and the spot rate. That's, I mean, in the short-term policy and enhance our supervisory in the central bank. And also we use AI for the neural network, network models to predict some sort of behavior in the financial market. And to me, AI is very powerful, I mean, in the future going forward, if people could embrace it in an easy way, rather than in the past that we need to put more effort, take time to, I mean, generate and estimate and run the models. So if the AI is, I mean, close to daily life, like people could access, easily use this, I think it will reshape not just the financial landscape, but in the whole landscape of industry, sort of revolution of industry. But I think at this stage, it's very premature to say that. But I think they hold promise to offer opportunity in terms of productivity and open new opportunity for the landscape in our industry, in particular in financial sector.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And kind of the last question I wanted to get to is, what projects are you personally most excited about?
Well, I think the projects of multi-CBDC is also the exciting one because in two aspects, first, it changed the mindset that we conduct or undertake the cross-border transaction. Like the legacy system, we involve corresponding bank and multiple intermediary. But this is sort of transformation that you eliminate this role, which is the legacy that evolved from, many years. So yeah, one thing that the Embrace that's excited that they eliminate the legacy of the intermediary of the corresponding bank that are very prominent in the foreign exchange space. Yeah. And another thing is that we leverage the technology of the atomic settlement, like because the pain point is very clear in the foreign exchange is 3+2, 3+3. Yeah. So DLT provide like atomic settlement, yeah, reduce and eliminate the settlement risk for both counterparties. And this is the beauty of the transformation, not just a technology, but the business to eliminate the corresponding bank. So I think if you ask about the project in specifically, I think Embrace could be one good example of transformation.
And going from T plus two or T plus days to T plus 10 seconds can have a significant impact on cost and efficiency and all that. So that's very, very cool. But, unfortunately, that's about all the time we're going to have for today. But before we finish up, if people want to follow things that you're personally working on, or they want to follow what's happening at the Bank of Thailand, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, actually, we have our own project, and you can visit at the Bank of Thailand website. And also, you could follow at the BIS Bank for International Settlement Innovation Hub as well for in more detail about the project, because we involve project of multi-CBDC with the BIS Innovation Hub. Yeah, that's the two places that you can visit.
Okay, excellent. So this is an amazing conversation today. I've learned a lot of great insights that I'm sure that our listeners will benefit from. But as I said, that's all we have time for today. But let's keep in touch. And thanks again for joining me today.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate this session. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Chief Digital Heroes, brought to you by Settlement, the world's leading blockchain transformation platform. To learn more about Settlement or to access the latest episodes, visit settlement.com.